CRJ225, this is your podcast for week number 7, where we move on to discuss homicide in Illinois, as well as revisit assault and battery, something that we sort of talked about a little bit in the first few weeks. I've given you a detailed document, reference to the statutes, etc., and you should have read those before you listen. If you're not reading and listening, if that's what's asked of you, then you're going to struggle if you haven't figured that out by now, and most of you have figured it out, and you're doing a great job, and I appreciate that. Illinois refers to murder as homicide. Illinois homicide statutes break killing another human being into 5 different offenses. And that is covered in 720 ILCS 5/9, etc. First degree murder. The essence of first degree murder is an intentional killing or knowingly performing an act that leads to death, even if death was not completely intended. And that's, you know, our what we think of as murder, homicide, our number one, right? Felony murder is another category. Felony murder is a death that occurs during the commission of a felony, as defined as felony murder in Illinois. Traditional example would be somebody's committing a robbery, an armed robbery, and they don't intend to kill somebody. They just have the weapon to sort of scare the clerk in the store and cause that clerk to give up whatever the property is, the money, the cash, the goods. Gun goes off even accidentally. It's felony murder. In the commission of that felony, someone died. There have been cases where the victim had had a heart attack or a medical condition that led to death that was a result of the stress of the armed robbery. Felony murder. Now, second degree murder, it should be pointed out, is not a lesser included offense of first degree murder. Instead, it is a lesser mitigated offense of first-degree murder. A conviction of second-degree murder lessens or mitigates the sentence after a person has been found guilty of first-degree murder. In other words, the person has committed all the elements of first-degree murder. It is not an acquittal of first-degree murder. Rather, second-degree murder is an acknowledgement that the person may have acted under certain circumstances that society is not prepared to excuse as a complete defense, but it does not allow for a lesser sentence. That's to be distinguished from involuntary manslaughter, which in Illinois is an unintentional killing. It results when a person acts recklessly, such that their conduct leads to the death of another individual. And the difference between involuntary manslaughter and first-degree murder is the mental state that accompanies the act that causes the death. First-degree murder requires an intentional or knowing act that creates a strong probability of death or great bodily harm that could lead to death. Involuntary manslaughter requires reckless conduct, conduct that's likely to cause death or great bodily harm to an individual. And then we have another category, the final category, reckless homicide. And for purposes of simplifying things, our reckless homicide statute is essentially the same offense as involuntary manslaughter, except reckless homicide involves a death caused by use of a motor vehicle. Typically, that's a driving under the influence scenario, and someone dies as a result of another person driving under the influence. First-degree murder has its own special classification. It is a Class M felony and is normally punishable between 20 and 60 years. However, special enhancements may also apply. Now remember, Illinois is not a death penalty state, but life in prison is a sentencing option. I've alluded to, and some of you know from other courses, that at one point in my life, I worked for the Illinois Attorney General's office working on criminal appeals, appeals that were brought by people who were imprisoned, primarily in capital cases because we had capital punishment or the death penalty at the time, or people that were in for long periods of time or life. The point here, and you've had some exposure to this, is you always need to be sure to read the entire statute, including the aggravating and mitigating factors, and how each of those things apply to sentencing or penalty options for crimes like murder, and all of our crimes. And you've seen that, right? Aggravating factors are typically the same in most every offense that constitutes a crime against a person. So usually in crimes against people, the aggravating factors are the class of the person, or the occupation, I should say, where the person falls, or like a person older than 60, which would be me next fall. So don't strike me. That's aggravated. Know those things. Mitigating goes towards the opportunities to lessen a penalty because of certain factors. So aggravating increases, mitigating lessens. Let's talk about assault and battery, and this should be review. When it comes to assault versus battery, the difference is that an assault occurs when a person is threatened or put in fear of getting hit illegally. Okay. A battery is when physical contact with a person actually happens. So an assault's when somebody fears that they may be struck or be battered. And a battery is when it actually happens. And the contact has to be harmful or illegal, if you remember back to my spitting example. I mean, is it, necessarily harmful if someone spits on you compared to if they strike you, you know, with a baseball bat or a fist or whatever, or they, you know, use a weapon on you? But that's a matter of degrees. It's a matter of degrees. I was just watching one of our kids turned us on to a show. I forget what channel it's on, but it's on Loudermilk is the name of the show. And at one point, one of the characters, somebody sneezes in his eye. Completely unintentional. But he gets this infection in his eye. What if somebody spit in your eye and you get an infection out of it? I'm kind of getting off the path, but you know the distinction. A battery is when one causes harm, usually by making contact or contact that is insulting or provoking in nature. A slap across the face may not necessarily leave you with any sort of permanent mark or even long-term other than maybe a little redness. It's insulting, though. It provokes you, right? And you're inclined to go and slap them back, hit them back, do something. The essence of battery is some kind of unwanted physical contact. Unwanted, unpermitted. Now, salt, battery is listed under 720 ILCS 5/12-3. Assault precedes it under 720 ILCS 5/12-1. And it says in that statute, a person commits assault when without lawful authority he or she knowingly engages in conduct which places another in reasonable apprehension of receiving a battery. No actual contact needs to be made for an assault to occur. The essence of an assault is being put in fear of getting hit in a harmful way. In coming weeks, we're going to talk about burglary and robbery. An assault and battery are sort of the same, so people mix burglary and robbery up all the time. And so hopefully, you know, if you're in the 911 program and you're in this class, if you ever do any dispatching, you ask the questions of the person who calls in, because if it's a robbery, that means that someone is having property taken from their person by a forceful nature, typically with a weapon. And if I'm the responding officer, I'm coming lights and sirens, which means I'm coming at a high rate of speed, and I'm putting myself and other people in, you know, between point A and B at danger. Whereas if it's a burglary, someone's already broken into an uninhabited structure and stolen property, so there isn't the need to come lights and sirens. An assault's different than a battery. An assault is the fear that someone might be battered. Now, when we get into certain circumstances, again, the dispatcher getting the best information and then relaying the best information to the officer who has to exercise discretion to get to the call. If you think about most assault and battery situations compared to burglary, robbery, assaults typically lead to a battery. So knowing the facts, what you're walking into, what's occurred to the point of the call to the police, etc., will be very important. Simple battery is a Class A misdemeanor. Simple assault is a Class C misdemeanor, but they can become felonies and they can become aggravated based on the same factors, the status of the victim, the place or location of the offense, and a variety of other factors that are listed in statutes. Again, these statutes or these factors, the aggravating factors, are pretty consistent through all of our crimes against persons in Illinois. That's the synopsis, the high points of homicide, assault, and battery. Next week is week 8, and we move on to sexual assault, false imprisonment, and kidnapping. Sexual assault is what we call rape in Illinois. As a reminder, so you can plan, the week after next week is spring break week. We come back on March the 18th, the day after St. Patrick's Day. You will have access to the week 9 material, and there will be an expectation that you get the work done on the same time schedule. So be ready to do that. And week 9, after we come back, we move into burglary. And in fact, we're going to talk about burglary and arson as we move into crimes against property. I will have a podcast for week 8 regarding sexual assault and false imprisonment and kidnapping. This is your week 7 podcast. I appreciate your efforts through the first 6 weeks, and I look forward to seeing what you come up with this week. If you need anything, and pay attention to contact from advisors, because the summer and fall schedule should be released here pretty soon. If you need anything regarding that, for law enforcement, 911, and criminal justice, get a hold of Doug Huerman, and he will help advise you and get you into those classes pretty quick. And for legal studies, you can reach out to me, and I'm going to be sending you in something anyway. You can always look at icclaw.info, And for any of those programs, click on the link to your left, and it'll give you information on who to contact and what to do. That information is going to be updated here this week, so wait till after this week. Otherwise, stay well, and if you need me, you know where to find me.